love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it to. No show.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Florida, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
Killer, what's good, man?
Murder, what's up, man? How you doing? Good?
Yeah, man. Now I gotta help us become number one, man.
What you gonna do?
I gotta become sexy again. That's what the comments are telling me.
I'm not wrong. It's your stat.
Yes.
Stat.
Yes.
May say no, I was listening, but before the show started, did I hear May say he been staring at the Rock? He liked the way the Rock looked or something like that?
No, I did not say that, Kelly. Come on.
I'm asking Stat a question.
No, I didn't say that.
Did he say he been looking at the Rock?
I don't want to answer this, but we did discuss the Rock. The Rock was brought up, but that's not what May said.
I heard different. I heard. I've been looking at the Rock lately.
See, he's from New York. You can't say nothing around niggas from New York. They gonna always hear it wrong.
Yo, the nigga sensei. Nigga sensei. Mace guys with this nigga sensei. Called the corner.
I said, yeah, the nigga was knocked out, so we called the corner. You know, we want them to remember it.
Yeah, niggas always throw some hot sauce on it. That's the way.
Yeah, New York niggas always throw hot sauce on it.
All right, I just thought I heard. I know I was just tuning in. I was getting the.
Yeah, he did not say that.
Yeah, I just heard. So what did he say? I heard the Rock. What happened with the Rock?
No, we was talking about how Stagger better explain it.
You said it. Why you just can't tell me what you said about the Rock? You said it. If I didn't hear that, what did you say? I don't want to hear what you said. It. Could you explain if that isn't what you said? What'd you say? Why was we talking about the Rock? You explaining your words with the Rock was sun brought up. Why was the Rock brought up? I like to know your words. Go ahead.
We have a job to do. Do your job.
Because the way it sounds, it doesn't even.
It sounds crazy.
Because I'm telling you what I heard in my ear. Something about the sex symbol when you've been seeing the Rock.
Go ahead.
Okay,
I would like to move on. I'll give you one last opportunity. What did you say about the Rock? talking about going last, number one.
Yep. Okay, we'll just start. Okay, so we're going to discuss Russell Wilson. The Broncos informed the quarterback that he will be released after two seasons with the Broncos. What do you guys think about the situation? Obviously, it's not a shock to us right now, but and then where do you guys think his next landing spot will be?
Yeah, go ahead, Cam. You first.
Do you think Russell Wilson's a sex symbol? Since we talked about sex symbols before the show started.
We were not talking about sex symbols. We were talking about me getting back to a place of sex symbols. We were not talking about any other guy.
For the audience, what happened is, so I'm telling the audience what happened. Mace ain't know I was on the line, and he was trying to tell Stat all this shit about sex symbols. And that's how the Rock got brought up. No, and he said for us to be number one. He gotta be. He has to be a sex symbol for us. So, since he has male sex symbols on his mind, I was just wondering if he thought Russell Wilson was a sex symbol. That's what y'all was talking about. Y'all talking about male sex symbols?
No, we weren't.
Talking about male sex symbols.
I don't want to be in the middle of it.
No, that's not what we were talking about. We talking about me being one killer.
So how did you and The Rock get in the same conversation? I think that's a legitimate question if you think Russell Wilson's a sex symbol for us. Because listen, girls do be like, I need me a Russell Wilson because the way he treats Sierra. Girls do be like, I need me a Russell Wilson. So does that qualify him in your book for male sex symbol?
To me?
I'm saying pause, not like it's a pause. I don't know. You act like Stat was just listening. You was going on and on and on about. All right, let me get to it. Never mind. I know first. I was just wondering. See, Murda ain't comfortable when the cameras on talking about.
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if women see him like that. I think they value the way that he treats Sierra and how he restored her presence and restored things about her and made people look at her in an honorable way. I think that's what people like.
That's very true. Very true. I agree with that. Far as I'll bring him back later in the show if it presents itself with Mace's male sex symbol. But as far as the Broncos getting rid of Russell Wilson. Look, the writing been on the wall. We've seen this coming pause before the season kind of started. This season was based upon Russell Wilson's stand if he did good. We see him and Sean Payton bump heads last season before the season started. Sean Payton didn't like the way he was approaching the season. It wasn't even necessarily his play. It was about his attitude. He didn't have the best season. And the show that they really didn't want them. They took an $85 million cap salary hit. So that means they basically gave away $85 million not to have him there. So that means we don't want you. Nothing screams $85 million.
Yeah, it's 89, by the way.
We got to get
89,
pardon me. 89, thank you. So that goes to show you're really not wanted because that's a lot of money just to take a hit on to get rid of a player. But I don't think this is shocking news. I think after the season, we all kind of knew this. We've seen this a couple games before the season ended where Sean Payton was threatening to bench him. If he didn't get benched, I'm not sure exactly how the season ended with him starting and not starting, but the writing was pretty much on the wall when Sean Payton got there. And it was one of those things to me where if they didn't have a good season, it was going to be Sean Payton saying, look, y'all want Russell Wilson or y'all want me? If you look at the accolades, they both have one Super Bowl. I think that Sean Payton had a sensational coaching career with the Drew Brees, and Sean Payton might tell ownership, look, I coached Drew Brees to every NFL quarterback record there is. You know, Tom Brady came back and ended up breaking them a year later, the year after Drew Brees left. I believe the very next year Drew Brees left. But when Drew Brees retired, he had about three or four quarterback records leaving the NFL. I know he only left with one championship, but one Super Bowl, that is. But his career was impeccable, and Sean Payton had a lot to do with that. So I think Sean Payton tells ownership, look, if I get the right quarterback, I'll do what I did in New Orleans. And I think that's been going on since before the season started. That's kind of my opinion. But nothing screams more than get the fuck out of here, and we'll pay $89 million for you to leave.
Yeah. I would start by saying, I think Russell Wilson has made probably like $250,000 with the Seahawks to start off with, right? So he's financially fit.
Quarter billion.
Yeah, I mean $250,000,000 with just the Seahawks. So when he comes to the Broncos, he's expected to do well. And I think just that first 15 starts of going 4-11 really just made the coach think, like any coach would think, that this is not a good fit, especially if I've been telling you certain things you're doing don't work for a winner, right? So in the beginning of the season, Sean Payton is telling them all of these things that he want them to change. So it's nothing worse than having a bad season with a player as a coach, you know, and being a person that I've coached before. So when you coaching a team and you're telling a player something and that player is not listening, and then and they go out there and succeed, then you can kind of deal with them being a cowboy and the things that they're doing. But when you're deviating from what the coach wants and you go 4-11 out of the first 15 starts, have about, 16 touchdowns and 13 turnovers, then it becomes really impossible to even show you grace because you're not listening. And I think that's what it came down to. You could work with somebody who's struggling in your system while trying to do your system, but you will not struggle with a quarterback that's doing his own thing and he's really not giving your system a fair shot. So I think when it came down to the money, like you said, $89 million, that's a lot of money, especially to a person you're going to have to give $40 million the next year or close to it. Why would you give $40 million to a person that went 4-11 in their first 15 starts? It just makes no sense. And then when it comes down to now, I'm looking at my notes now. He might end up in Atlanta. The answer to this question is that he may very well end up in Atlanta, which will be perfect for Sierra. You know, since he want to please Sierra, this will be great. And I'm not throwing no shade. I think that would be perfect for him to end up in Atlanta. She's redeemed. She's restored right there in Atlanta. I don't know how he's going to feel about that, but she'll be back home soon.
Yeah. Well, also, it's just that Russell Wilson, to add on to what you're saying, he's also like a diva. You know, it's part of his negotiation when he got to the Broncos that he gets certain parking spots. Then the parking spots aren't where he wants the parking spots to be. Then he has an attitude, well, I don't have four parking spots. I only got three. Why is my name on two when it should be on four? He has his own office in the Broncos organization. All the extra bells and whistles, and you're not producing, then people start getting bitter around the organization. Other players are saying you're not deserving of it. And you don't get the bells and whistles when you're not producing. Now, that was negotiated in his contract, so it probably wouldn't have stopped, even though he's not playing well. So they had to make a decision, but he's definitely a diva.
He had an office in the...
He had his own office, and he got an office.
He got quarterback in school in his own.
He got it. You know, you can't get mad at him for negotiating that. So, but when you're not winning, nigga, you know how that shit go, murder. When you're not winning, niggas gonna start. Nigga got the fuck he doing with the office.
Yeah,
fucking practice. He got the office.
Is he practicing his turnovers in there?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And that goes, then you arguing about parking spots. Like, bro, you a diva and you're not winning.
The thing about the Russell Wilson situation to me is that wherever he goes, he's going to be a really good bargain because, I mean, whatever team he does decide decides to take him, he probably is going to sign the veterans minimum, which is $1.2 million because of all the money that he's made from the Broncos. So with that being said, I feel like a good team for him to go to, y'all know I got to say the Steelers. I'm just saying, to have a veteran quarterback, I mean, training with Kenny Pickett, like, I just think that'd be good for our situation, or even the Raiders, Aiden O'Connell, because he's a really young quarterback too, that I think could definitely benefit from having a quarterback like Russell Wilson on their team. Because I know I said a lot throughout our season that I just feel like he's declined. And so I think that Russell Wilson needs the opportunity to be able to prove himself. He need to prove himself. I'm not saying I want him, but that's the situation that I feel like would be best for him to, one, redeem himself as a quarterback again, because I think a lot of us has lost hope in him. And I just think it's not bad of a situation. It's funny how the tables have turned, though, me saying that, because y'all know how I feel about Russell Wilson. But he's better than a lot of other quarterbacks in the league still, I think, too. So.
You would take him in.
He's not my top 10, but
in the Steelers.
Yeah, I think Kenny Pickett needs some help right now. Granted, he's been injured, and then we had a lot of quarterback issues, but we need somebody who can be there and help train our younger quarterback. So we'll be better in the long run.
He would do well in New York too.
Giants?
Yeah.
Daniel Jones instead. And then Cam, what do you think? Because you said New York, and then you said
Atlanta.
Yep. Cam, what do you think?
Where do you think he would go?
Steelers, to be honest, Steelers sound good and Atlanta sounds good, but it's about him gelling with the right coach. You got to realize, like, Pete Carroll, I don't know him personally, but just through the television, he looks like a player's coach. He looked like he's willing to work with you. He looked like he, you know, kind of how Mace talked about, I believe it was yesterday, how Adam Silver is a player's commissioner and David Stern necessarily wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the personalities where Pete Carroll is kind of like Adam Silver and Sean Payton's kind of like David Stern. So it depends on the coach he gets with and if they vibe, because that means a lot. Your head coach and the quarterback got to be on the same page.
Which is also why he's definitely out his way of Denver, because him and Sean Payton do not have that
Sean
chemistry.
Payton did not want another preseason of him carrying babies and all that. Sean Payton is not for that.
Yeah.
And he loves family. I'm not saying he's against family, but we're paying you to be a quarterback.
Tom Brady lost his family being a GOAT. Sometime it'd be like that.
Jordan too.
Yeah,
so he lost his ring to get six rings, you know.
Yeah, sometimes to be the GOAT, to be that nigga, if your family don't understand, they just don't understand. You gotta pick and choose. And no disrespect to Russell Wilson, I respect his decision, but you could see he made his decision, because and I'm not disrespecting him, I think it's a great gesture, but you're running around with another person's kid like it's yours, and the kid got the father's name. He loved that family.
Mm. And it cost him a couple million. He's doing the right thing, but doing the right thing gonna cost you. I always tell people that. You can want to do the right thing. It's gonna cost you, though.
What's the right thing, though?
If he loves Sierra, he got to take her kid as his own to a degree. He does. You don't believe that's that?
I think he's doing everything right with Sierra, so.
Yeah, it's just going to cost him. It's going to cost him certain things on the field.
That's why I asked the question. I wasn't being facetious when I asked it.
Yeah.
The right thing depends on who what angle you're looking at it from.
So the right thing for family may not be the right thing for football. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what it depends on what angle. It's no wrong answer. It depends on what angle you're looking at it from. I think, and to all jokes aside, I think he's doing a great job as a husband, and it's costing him as a football player. Tom Brady wasn't a great husband, it seems like. And I'm not saying bad as far as cheating or any infidelity or abuse or you know, domestic shit. He just put his job before his family, and it cost him. So I respect both sides, to be totally honest with you.
And we don't know. We don't know if Russell is a good husband. We don't know that. It just seemed like
it
that.
It seems, yeah.
He could be Big Red behind the scene.
Yeah, he might be.
So that
he could be a cool nigga.
Kind of brings me to my next question. Do you guys think the two can coexist, being like a good partner and a good player? Because that's kind of a good question that you guys just kind of brought up when discussing.
You can actually. You can. It's just you have to have that understanding. And because to some degree, people will say put family first. Another group like Cam said will say put football first, because if he ends up being a bum and losing money, he's not going to be able to be a good husband, because most women don't want a guy on a decline and losing money. Is that correct? So, you know, it's a balance in there.
You can ask Joe Smith wife that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
And who else was that? That was the running back where his wife said, man, go practice. Get out this house. I think when you have a guy valuing you like that, at some point you got to return him back to what he's supposed to be doing. I think that would be wise on her part to tell him, no, go out there and ball. You've done enough for me. Don't just make it so about me that you lose your goals. I think that's fair.
And to answer your question, absolutely can be done. It's about having the right wife and the right understanding and knowing what you're here for. The best player to some people, second best player to me, and still has time to be the best player ever in basketball, is LeBron James and his wife Savannah. They've been together since he was in high school and still together to this day, and they look totally happy together. And LeBron is considered to be the greatest player to some people ever now. So, and every time you see them, they're happy, they're enthused. I seen LeBron James maybe 2 months ago. And you know, I've seen him since he was a teenager. That's my guy. And I've never met his wife until the other day. And we was at the party, and when we was talking, and his wife, he got his wife with him. He said, killer, pardon me, let me introduce you to my queen. This is my queen, Savannah. He didn't say his wife. He said his queen. And you could still see the love in both of their eyes. And to introduce his wife in such a manner, you could tell that they're in love. You could see they have a great family. You know, whether nobody really knows everything, but if I had to bet on it, I would bet on it. But he doesn't get caught in any scandals. He doesn't get caught, LeBron James leaving the hotel, or LeBron James been seen here with this chick. I actually remember when All-Star Game was in Cleveland and he was leaving the club, and LeBron James was almost running. He was speed walking away from some females to the point where he went down an up escalator so they wouldn't follow him. He ran down an escalator going up. He ran down it to get away from the females. So
I saw that, Keller.
Answer your questions.
I saw that. That was big. You know? That was real.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So to answer your questions, that absolutely it can be done. You're seeing it being done at the highest level, you know, and Russell Wilson is not no LeBron James. And so it could definitely be done, but you have to have that understanding. And I think Savannah definitely has that understanding, especially with them being together so long.
That's big. So it comes back, and according to Cam, what Cam is basically saying to all of you that are listening, you got to get the right woman. So without throwing the other lady under the bus, you're basically saying that Savannah helps him to be the kind of person that he is. So to all you ladies that get star athletes, don't diminish the man by making him so much about you that he can't do anything else.
I think that's a situation for Tom Brady. To me, sometimes, and look, I went through this in music with somebody that I know, to where we can't even blame the female all the time, because they may be on some, yo, go be great. Go be that nigga. I met you as that nigga. But sometimes the nigga is so engulfed in the female that they're not paying attention. Sometimes, you know, somebody I know, girlfriend came up to me and was like, yo, man, Cam, man, why this nigga can't get together? When I met him, he was that nigga. Now he just not that nigga, yo. I'm like, give him some time, man. He'll bounce back. But
nigga never bounce back.
Never bounce back.
So yeah, but so we're not. So what Cam is saying is, we're not blaming Russell Wilson's wife. We're not blaming Ciara at all. We're just saying sometimes what Cam is saying is the athlete can get so engulfed in a woman that he forgets that she met you as an athlete. She's expecting you to be a good athlete as well, or met you as an entertainer or rapper. You was that nigga. What happened?
Right. Word to blood, yo. Word to everything I love. That's absolutely right. Yeah. So I don't always, you always want to put it on a female. Sometimes a female might be like, yo, could you stop loving me so much and go be that nigga again? God damn.
Yeah.
I met you, you was the nigga. You so caught up in this pussy that you forgot I gave you the pussy because you was that nigga. Now you want to buy a minivan and go to Target.
Well, y'all made some great points. I think people will definitely take some gems from that. So I know we were speaking of sex symbols earlier, and speaking of sex symbols, after 13 seasons with the Eagles, Jason Kelce announces retirement. How do you guys feel about the news? Reason I said that is because in 2023, he was voted as one of the people's sexiest men alive. So shout out Jason Kelce. But how do you guys feel about his retirement?
And that's why the podcast is doing so well.
I don't know about that.
Well,
you
on
do like
Apple.
Jason Kelce.
On Apple. You know how niggas say. You know how niggas say they was number one on Apple. It's not the same.
Can I say something before we start this topic real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Mason, you was never a coach. Coaching your son's team doesn't qualify you to be a coach, Mason. You was never a coach. You can't coach your son's team and call yourself a coach. That does not qualify you for being a coach, Mason. You got your son was good in basketball,
yeah,
and you got some niggas to get around him. So you was coaching your son. You wasn't really coaching a team, Mason. Coaching your son's team does not qualify you for being a coach. You see
what I go through? With camera, please, camera. With friends like these, who need enemies? Who need enemies? Oh my goodness!
You cannot coach your son. If you coach your son's team, and that's the only team you ever coach, does that make you a coach, or are you really like saying, "Look, my son is nice. I'm going to get some niggas around him and take him to the top." I know that play. I don't think that qualifies to make you a coach.
Yeah. With friends like these who need enemies, man.
The last segment you said, I've been a coach before, and I'm like, you coached your son's team. That's not the only team I coach, Cam.
I haven't seen you for like 20 years. You think I haven't been doing anything sports related?
I think, look, whether we were speaking or not, you're my friend, so I was keeping up.
We the same guy.
Whatever team, so you coached the team that your son wasn't on?
I did, actually, Cam.
All right, cool. Say no more. My bad. Okay. That's it. I was just checking. We can move on. My bad. I just wanted, but like you said, I haven't seen you. I knew you coached that team. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. My bad. I apologize.
Yeah.
My bad. As far as Jason Kelce is concerned, look, he had a great career considering him coming out of college. Not even college. I don't even think he had a bunch of D1 offers going into college, and turned it into a Hall of Fame career as a professional. We all know about his brother Travis because even before Taylor Swift, you know, he has a over the top personality. Females like him. He like, you know, I don't know where the Taylor Swift thing came in, but he likes black females. You know, so we fuck with him, you know. Some people get mad at that, but I like that he shows black females love. Taylor Swift thing came out of nowhere because usually his females are black. I'm talking about Travis, that is. But as far as his brother, from where he started to where he ended was tremendous. And he's one of them stories that if you don't believe that you can make it, watch his story. I've seen a documentary on him that somebody put together. And I was like, God damn, that nigga really, you know, when people say out the mud, he's really, really out the mud to get to where he's at, because he's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer, done a tremendous job with the Eagles over the year. And considering that you have a brother that gets all these accolades and a lot of press, and you go to work every day, blue collar, to do your job and still do it to a high level, I give him a lot of props. So big, big shout out to Jason, and I wish him the best in his career after football. But they're already doing good. Mace brought it up. They have a great, great podcast, him and Travis. And I think he'll be all right after football. But from where he started to where he ended, I think a lot of football players that may be doubting themselves coming up, go look at his story, and that'll give you a lot of motivation.
Yeah, that's really dope, especially when you got one brother that's so talented and you had to work hard. And you end up in the same Hall of Fame that he ends up in. I think that's a real storybook ending. To make the most out of pause, what you have.
Yep.
Yeah, and just to add for more context, so at the University of Cincinnati, Jason Kelce was actually a walk-on, and then he was drafted 191 overall in 2011. He was undersized, ended up becoming a 7-time Pro Bowler, and has 6 first-team All-Pro selections by a center, which is the third most by a center. So as Cam and Mace both said, he will most definitely probably be a Hall of Famer in the near future. So shout out to Jason Kelce having a phenomenal career. And then now they're not even just known as football players. They're known as like more than that because of all the things happening around their lives. So shout out to the both of them. Okay, so moving along, basketball related, the Lakers beat OKC Thunder 116-104. How do you guys feel about the Lakers win?
D-Lo was acting like he's back like the guy he was before. He really got busy in that game. And I think them beating OKC is the win they needed to turn the corner. Honestly, I really believe this. You know, I'm not big on just jumping on a LeBron train, but I could see LeBron willing this team to the West Coast Finals. And I think it's going to be a letdown to some other teams. If D-Lo keeps playing like this, then they could definitely make it to the West Coast Finals. I don't got them winning it, but I could see them getting this. Because this starts to play into the psyche of a team when you lose this way, because they beat them kind of impressively. So, and that's the third scorer they need. In order for the Lakers to win, they need 3 scorers. And whether it's Austin Reeves or D'Angelo, you know, playing his side, then they could win. They could go as far as they want to go. But they need 3 scorers. What do you think, Killer?
I think this is really interesting because not necessarily to win. You know, anybody could win on that given night. It's more about the playoff picture for me with this. And the Lakers had a really, you know, this last, they had 12 games straight. I don't know what number they're up to at this particular moment, but it was 12 games straight in the state of California. With that, you know, only one away game. So they had 11 home games, and I think only one game away at Sacramento. So this was an important stretch for them to win a lot of games to get good seeding. But I don't think this is about the win yesterday. I mean, don't get me wrong, I do think it's about the win, but it's more about LeBron James wheeling the team going into the playoffs, saying, look, this is who we might be playing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's get ready for this game. Let's treat this like a playoff game, because this may be who we're playing when the playoffs start. So I think it was an important game to win to store confidence in the Lakers. But to me, this goes back to what we talked about maybe last week, or we talked about a couple of times, or at least I talked about a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. Seeing where the seeding ends up in the playoffs and who plays against who. Like right now in the play-in, and it's crazy because the play-in tournament right this very second, looking at the play-in, I'm talking about the play-in for the West Coast. If the yeah. playoffs started today, the play-in is Sacramento, the Dallas Mavericks, Golden State, and the Lakers as we speak today. Mm-hmm. All four of them teams alone are good teams. Now, let's just say, for instance, it ends up being Golden State and the Lakers making the playoffs and Dallas and Sacramento get home. I'm just saying scenario. And you have Minnesota at number one and Oklahoma City at number two. So, and you have the Lakers and Golden State playing either one of those teams. Mm-hmm. I think either series would be amazing because it goes back to what I said last week. This will be a turning of the guard, or this will be stay where you at. It's not your turn yet.
Yeah.
You got these young guns. When I say young guns, I'm not necessarily talking about Rudy Gobert or Cat Carl Anthony
Towns.
Talking about Ant-Man. It's Ant-Man's team. I'm talking about
SGA,
Shea's team. Yeah, Shea's team and Chet's team. And when you got them going against LeBron's team or Steph Curry's team, is it going to be the old guns or the new ones? And I think that's what it boils down to. But at the end of the day, we also have to take into account that they may not even make it, because if you have to play Dallas or Sacramento, that isn't a walkthrough game either in the play-in.
Yeah.
So it's a lot that's going to unfold in the next month or so, and I'm excited to see it. But as far as the game between the Lakers and OKC that happened, I think it was a great game. I think that LeBron James, I'm not in the locker room with them, but told them this could possibly be a playoff game. Let's treat it like one.
So yep.
It was a great game to watch. But at the same time, you know, Shea had one of the worst games of the season. He didn't play good. Chet didn't play the best either. So you got to take into account that if this was a series, they had an off game, it won't happen every night.
Yeah, I agree with much of what you said, but where I think a little different is that when it comes to this OKC game versus LA, that I remember Shaq saying something to this effect. He said he knew Kobe was that player when he says, this is the game we need to win, or this is the game I need you to get 50, and he would get 50 in that game. I think the same is true about this game right here, because they were already 2-1 over OKC in a series. So when we create, it's like, let's go out here. I'm saying hypothetically, LeBron goes out there and say, let's get this game to prove to them that we dominate them. Let's get a history in their minds that every time they see us, they're going to lose. Let's start that now. We're already 2-1 against OKC. This game will make us 3-1 against them. So when they see us, they know in their heads and in the back of their minds, they can't beat us. And I think that's what that game was about.
Okay, we're going to go to break. And when we return, we will discuss comments from Jordan Poole and Anthony Edwards. She called this thing about toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She's tired of hearing, I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall, oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about she wanna be free. Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Warriors will play the Bucks. Underdog Fantasy has Steph Curry at 26.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Of course, Steph's get more than 26, and they're playing the Bucks. He definitely got to go crazy. Steph, come on. Put 36 up.
Okay, Cam.
I'm going to go higher. Steph traditionally has great games against Damian Lillard. I don't know why he treats Damian Lillard like that. Him and Chris, every time when Chris Paul joined them, you know, one of them can't beat him, join him situations. But Damian, South Curry plays exceptional against Damian Lillard and Chris Paul. Those are like his punching bags sometimes, so to speak. So I'm going to go higher.
Dame ain't going to like that, killer.
Dame plays good against stuff sometimes, but if you look at head-to-head competition, you could Google that and look at the stats, wins, losses, points, etc. I'm just calling it like I see it, man. Dame my man, but it is what it is.
It's what it is. Okay, Draymond Green is at 7 rebounds. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Higher.
Okay, and Dame is at 6.5 assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Lower. He's going to try to get buckets. He's going to try to match Steph.
Yeah, I agree, lower.
Okay. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. So around last week, Anthony Edwards left at halftime in a game versus the Kings to be present for the birth of his first child. The Timberwolves ended up losing in overtime, 124-120. So one, how do you guys feel about the Timberwolves' loss? And then any tips for him entering fatherhood?
Who was they playing?
The Kings.
Oh yeah, he had to go. What? He got a baby on the way. He can't miss his first baby. I mean, I'm not surprised they lost without Anthony Edwards. They're not supposed to beat the Kings, like, without Anthony Edwards. And then if you think about it, good advice as a dad. I don't... There's so much you could tell him. Oh, man. I don't know. I would have to think about that. What you think, killer?
I ain't here to give out no fatherhood advice. Google that shit. Go on YouTube and find out how to be a good father, nigga. That ain't my job. I ain't here to tell nigga how to be no dad, nigga. I was a great dad. Don't ask me. I had no dad. I ain't grow up with no dad. That's a question for you, Stat. You had a dad. What's a good dad do? Don't ask me that. You got to ask my son. I was a great dad. You know what I'm saying? I think to be honest, my situation, it was kind of good for my situation because me and my baby moms wasn't together, after he was probably 3 or 4 years old. So she was such a disciplinary parent and I was terrible at being a disciplinary parent. I like my son at McDonald's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner from probably the time he was 3 to 9. You know what I'm saying? My son been on like 19 tours. He's been on more tours than rappers. So when he went back home, his mother's a teacher. So I used to like be like, yo, this nigga has to go to school and then go home to a teacher. It's crazy. So when he got with me, we just had to do the fun shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad I kind of had that balance. So don't ask me, nigga. Go Google how to be a good father. What I will say is this, as far as him leaving the game, it wasn't the playoffs. The Timberwolves is in first place.
Yeah.
Take my advice, fellas. If you could be there when your son or daughter or your child is born, be there.
Yeah.
Because when me and my son's mother broke up, she threw that in my face that I wasn't there when he was born for years. And I was like 4 hours late because I was shooting the movie Paid in Full. My son was born when I was shooting a movie Paid in Full, and when she went, my son's mother went into labor, I was in the middle of a scene. I'm like, yo, I got to get out of here. I took a jet back to New York. We was actually shooting in Canada. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. And they're like, one more scene came. And I'm like, I know I'm going to hear this shit, B. So I ended up shooting the rest of the day, took a jet back to New York, chill with my son for the day, and then I had to get up the next day to go back and film the movie. And that got thrown in my face for years. It wasn't there when your son was born. You went back and shot a movie and he wasn't even around. What kind of dad is that? What kind of father is you? And I'm like, yo, my nigga. Now this goes back to what we was talking about a couple segments ago.
Yeah.
What you gonna do? That movie ended up being a cult classic. That shit is top 5 movies of, you know, Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, Paid in Full. You know, if you want to put it up there with certain black movies, it's certain people's favorite movie. Do my son love me any less? No. That nigga love me. That nigga, I'm that nigga when my son eyes. You know what I'm saying? Do he remember me not being there? No, he don't remember that shit. Because as soon as I finished shooting, I went back the next day.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I was taking jets, bro. I spent like $80,000 on jet because when I finished filming, the flights, it was no more regular flights. So I catch a jet at nighttime, go back to the hospital, go back the next morning to shoot, go back. But it got thrown in my face that I wasn't actually there for him being born for years. Now, the reason I bring the last past couple segments to go up is because this was the balance we was talking about, Murph.
Yeah.
Even last week when we was talking about what's going to make you great.
Yeah.
What if I didn't do that movie? I had a great music career and still do, and so on and so forth. But that movie put me in another caliber with certain shit. This is the balance, and some people don't have it. What if I would have got talked in, and no disrespect to my son's mom, but what if I would have got drawn in or something? You love the movie more than you love your son. You don't give a fuck about this family. Now I'm like, just film the movie, y'all, because I'm getting told I don't care about my family. Dad, don't do it without me. They spent millions of dollars on the movie, but yeah. I just can't make it. You know, you got to figure that balance out. Sometimes you got to take those hits and just deal with the consequences later. But being that this was a regular season game, Minnesota's in first place. I think that he did the right thing. I would have got out of there too in this particular season.
Yeah. And sometimes people get penalized for doing that. Like I said, I remember when my son was born, I just did an album and I could have promoted the album way better, but I wasn't able to do it because I made that decision to go home early. And I got all these lawsuits. It cost me so much money to be there for my son's birth. Now, I don't regret it, but it definitely cost me a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? It cost me a whole lot. So that's what I meant when I said to do the right thing, it's going to cost you, you know, in some people's eyes, and everybody have a different view. But that, I mean, it was like 3 years worth of money I lost in lawsuits and lawyers and all of that. So. My son better turn out well.
I was just about to say that. This segment is towards your son, so you realize what you sacrificed.
Yeah, nigga been in court for like 3 years. So what Cam is saying. I don't agree, but I understand. Got it. It's the truth.
Well, shout out to what both of y'all.
Hold on, what you don't agree with did I say? Hey, yo, bro. If my son mother called me in the middle, I'm literally in the middle of a scene. I get the call. Yo, I'm about to go into labor. It wasn't like I knew she was going to labor.
I was using it as a joke. Nah, Paid in Full is one of my favorite movies. That was the first thing I told you when we started speaking again. Like, yo, I was watching that movie and I forgot this is Cam playing this. I thought the nigga was Alpha for real. I said, this nigga is really in character. I said, yo, Killer, you one of my favorite actors, yo. He started laughing when I told him that. It's only two niggas I ever seen a movie. No, three. And this is crazy. This is crazy, like, category to put you in, but because I know you, I'm like, yo, this nigga is somebody else right now. So it was Denzel when he played Malcolm X. I forgot that was Denzel.
Yeah, me too.
Will Smith when he played Muhammad Ali. And yeah. Paid in Full when Cam was playing Alpha. It's the only three people that I saw the movie and I really forgot that these was those people. So that's crazy company to be in.
I was just about to say for you to even put me in the category with them guys, I really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
I don't cap. You know, I don't give out compliments.
Listen. I would expect you to tell me you ain't. Look, when I seen that poll, he told me my movement was off a little bit.
He said, yeah, you was all right. Your movement was funny. Yeah.
So for people who don't know, I actually bumped into Alpo. That's the person I played in Paid in Full in a restaurant. And he was like, yo, Cam, that's you? Because everybody was wearing masks at the time. I was like, yeah, what's up, man? He said, yeah, man, yeah. You did your thing, man. You was all right. Your movement was off a little bit, but you did your thing, man. I said, thank you, man. But and thank you for that, because, you know, Denzel and Will Smith, are these, for my name to be mentioned with them as far as acting is concerned, is crazy. I appreciate that. But, you know, back to the original topic, Mace, you know my baby moms. Like, you know what Toy told me, nigga. I'm lucky if she had enough strength, I might have got punched in the face. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I, you know, dealing with that, you know, I'm talking about 3-4 years later. You wasn't even there when your son was born, nigga.
Yeah. All right, my bad. You're going to hear that his whole childhood.
And then... Yeah. Real quick, before we even move on from the Paid in Full conversation, yeah, Cam, you definitely did snap, because sitting up here next to you every day and then having seen the film, it's like, it was so good.
No, thank both you guys. Like, listen, let me tell you, that movie's 20 years old, and I promise you, at least twice a month, whether it's in person or whether it's on Instagram or comments or whatever, that's fucked up what you did to Mitch last night, Cam. Call me Cam and everything.
Yeah.
Yo, Cam did not do nothing to nobody.
No, actually, that's when you played the role right, because that's how I felt about nigga on Power, the little nigga Tariq. When I saw, I was like, yo, Tariq, that was foul, bro.
Yeah, and then the nigga named me Tariq. So you sitting there like, yo, bro. Because some niggas will call me Rico still, but then niggas, like, that's what you're saying. I agree when you do a great job, because there's some people I don't like because they did such a good job. You like, fuck it. But like, even like what I'm saying is so with the internet and everything else, they're mixing and matching what they said. Think about what I'm saying, Murder. A nigga say, and they say last night, because they must have just seen it last night, even though it's 20 years later. Nigga be like, yo, Cam, that's fucked up what you did to Mitch last night. Cam was not in the movie. Like, Mitch is a character in the movie. Cam wasn't. So I agree with you when you say I did a great job and I appreciate it, because people still fuck with you now. I seen, and that goes down to a lot. It's a comedian named Tony Baker, and he was saying that his first role he was offered was to be a rapist in prison. He's like, nah, I'm not taking that your first role, because you knew that people just don't know you from being a rapist in jail. And that's true. I don't think you take that as your first role as an actor. So thank you guys, both of you guys, for the compliment. I appreciate it.
Of course. And so I know recently we've had a lot of discussion along the Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia fight. So a lot of people right now are concerned for Ryan Garcia after a string of tweets alluding to him not being okay. So first, there is a video released with someone saying, like, we got him, saying that they killed him. He came back basically saying that wasn't true. He was alive. But he also revealed in more tweets that he was raped by a family member as a child, was forced to witness human trafficking, and that he has picture proof of aliens. And honestly, there's a whole bunch more of stuff that I can't even completely explain or understand, because it's just a lot. So what do you guys think is going on with Ryan Garcia?
Well, according all of that is disturbing news, right? To start, that say he's unalive, and then to hear that him say, you know, that, and I'm not going to make it funny, but he said he was... he was raped at age 2. That was not really cool. And then he makes the statement that you made about human trafficking. And then there was another video where he was stating that he's locked out of his account. He doesn't have his phone. He's not able to use his banking information. All of this stuff. And I was like, wow, this is a lot. Is he still fighting? And then it dawned on me when I think I heard one of the other guys says, oh, he's trying to get them. And I don't know if this is true, but this is what they were saying, that maybe he's trying to get Devin Haney to not train. Like he's not training and get him disturbed with that. But I didn't think that. I thought this was very, very alarming and that something was really wrong. So I'm trying to stay serious about it because I got a lot of jokes coming to my mind. But I don't want to joke on this situation.
At least you're honest.
I'm trying to stay professional. Go ahead, Killer. What do you think about this?
This guy YOLA written all over it, man.
YOLA?
All over it, man. YOLA.
Coca-Cola. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nose candy. Snow. All over it. Snow White.
Young Jeezy.
Becky. Yeah. This guy is written all over it, man. Young Oscar De La Hoya, Snowman. Might have went to see the snowman. Under Oscar De La Hoya's umbrella, and he had the same problems. Apple may not fall far from the tree, man. You know, Oscar was a great champion, though. Ryan Garcia is definitely not no Oscar De La Hoya. But, you know, I thought picture Oscar De La Hoya in high heels and stockings with coke residue on his lip. We seen it. So
Oscar De La Hoya?
You never seen him in stockings and heels, boys? You could Google that while I'm talking if you want. Shit, pop right up. And he got,
Golden Boy?
You never seen him?
That's crazy.
He had on the heels and the stockings. He had to take a leave of absence from Golden Boy because he was on a YOLA cross dresser. He's on a Yogi beer. Word of blood.
Cocaine. What was that? Cocaine beer?
Yeah, he's on a Yogi beer. Yo, Seth, pull up a picture while I'm talking so Mace can at least see what I'm talking about. That nigga got heels on and all that. He got heels on, right?
Yeah.
And stockings. He got fishnets.
On a tutu. That was
a tutu. Yeah, that nigga was wearing fishnets paws, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was talking to Sin, and Sin really loves boxing. I go to Sin for a lot of my boxing because as much as I love boxing, he's one of them people that might be his favorite sport more than basketball or football. So I ask him a lot of questions when it comes to boxing. And of course, my uncle Billy Giles that Bill Haney had brought up. And a couple things that I'll say about this is that this screams he may pull out the fight.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And then if he doesn't pull out the fight, all these excuses are being laid before. Bernard Hopkins, being that he's down with Golden Boy, he made a statement saying that you see boxers do all type of antics and make all type of weird things before the fight. You don't know if that's mental warfare against your opponent, so on and so forth. I think that that's what Bernard Hopkins has to say, being that Ryan is a Golden Boy fighter, so he's protecting the fighter. But this is weird. This is crazy. Aliens, abductions, trafficking. It's a lot on one plate. It's like one of them things, if you spoon fed us, okay. God damn, you want to pour it all on one plate. If this is mental strategy before the fight, fine. But what I would say to this, and now I'm dead serious. Adrian Broner. I spoke to Adrian Broner, not about what I'm about to say, though, about something else. Adrian Broner and your camp, you guys need to start training right this very second. Right this very second, because if Ryan Garcia pulls out this fight and the tickets are sold and you have a closer sellout fight and not a Ryan Garcia, it would be no better feeling than Adrian Broner.
Yeah.
That would be the best feeling for Ryan Garcia. So I would get in shape now if I'm this camp, because we don't know where Ryan's brain is at right now. And we already heard Bill say that he's willing to give Adrian a chance if it presents itself. This may be the exact time that you may need to get in shape, because nobody knows where Ryan is mentally. And if you got to fight 3-4 weeks out, tickets are sold, people are waiting, and he backs out the fight, I tell you right now, I would not be more thrilled to see a replacement ever than Adrian Broner.
Yeah, and Adrian Broner could make a few million.
Right.
He could make a few million, be back on his feet.
Yes.
So I know we don't know what will happen with the fight, considering we really don't know what's going on with Ryan Garcia. My last question is, do you guys think that this is turning people away from even wanting to watch a fight between the two?
No, I don't think so, because I think a lot of boxers been going through mental things for a long time. I mean, Mike Tyson would do it all the time. Pause. He would say he gonna eat your kids. He was going crazy. Mike was wilding, and that was a part of his strategy. So, you know, shout out to Ryan, and shout out to Bill Haney. Bill Haney say he's going to be a part of the team, killer. He say he's going to be a part of the family in the boxing.
That's what's up. Mike Tyson told me he's going to fuck him in the ass.
Pause. Mike was going, wow.
Yeah, Mike told me, I'll fuck you right in your ass, boy. Right? That was a different type of strategy for me. I might have pulled out the fight.
Yeah. And then Mike was playing crazy and biting niggas. Pause. You know what I'm saying? So nigga, he definitely had niggas mentally like, yo, it's probably a scare. It could also be used as a scare tactic. Cause you heard when people said it's warfare. Remember, people was like, yo, it's warfare. So that's the mental warfare that comes with it when somebody acting crazy. You don't know how to deal with them.
Yeah, none of his crazy is scaring niggas, though. Like, yo, you're bugging on your own. Real quick, back to Bill Haney, though. I got a DM from Shakur Stevenson after Bill Haney was on the show. And I don't have it in front of me, but I don't want to say verbatim, but what he kind of said was, y'all niggas need to have some real niggas on the show and not all that clown shit that this nigga's doing. Referring to Bill Haney. And the reason why he looked so bad in his last fight is because he had a lot of injuries, but he doesn't believe in pulling out of fights. So that he didn't look as good as he could look. And the guy that Devin beat in his last fight, that Shakur said he fucked him up in sparring worse than Devin did in the fight. So I told Shakur, I've been traveling yesterday and last night, and I'm just getting situated this morning. So I told him, look, you have a chance to come on the show. Just tell your side of the story whenever you're ready. But he definitely didn't like what Bill Haney was saying. And that's what he responded to in my DM about the Bill Haney interview.
That's deep.
Yeah.
When is he coming through? Pause.
I got to check the DM. I wrote him back before my flight took off and told him, we film Monday through Friday. You don't have to be in studio. You can be here via Zoom. And let's just go from there. I haven't been able to get back into my DMs as of yet. So if he hit me back, I'll update you guys tomorrow on the show as well as our audience. But that's where I left it off. Told him he has an invite whenever he wants. But he definitely said that Bill Haney is a clown. We need to let real niggas on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that the reason he didn't look as good, he did in his last fight, he had a bunch of injuries, but he doesn't make excuses. And the guy that Devin Haney beat, he fucked him up already in sparring. So that was his response to the Bill Haney interview that we did.
Smoke.
Ooh, what is smoke?
Smoke.
Well, we'll be staying tuned for that. That'll be a great conversation, I think. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for watching. And as always, it is what it is.
like when they doing them 2 for 5.